Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who won't be using the family-friendly term screw it on this podcast. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast, Sunday and Night Edition. Tiffany became the new HOH and had some decisions to make. As the rest of the cookout had some reactions to Tiffany becoming the HOH back-to-back weeks, here to talk about it, another great panel. Of course, a man who never says screw it during the Big Brother season. Here is the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm sick and tired, Rob.
Yes?
Sick and tired of your selfishness. It's time for me to be selfish. For the first time in my life. Okay?
I understand, but it was my turn.
No. We all agreed that I was supposed to start this podcast. Didn't we? Didn't we, Josh? Didn't we, Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
I that was the plan.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly, Rob.
Yeah, but
what did you do?
I had a different plan.
Unbelievable.
Taryn, how are you? Other than that.
Doing well. Happy to be here as always, even though some people are selfish.
Okay, it's fine. Sorry. It's fine. Sorry about that. Okay. All right. We have another great treat for you here tonight. Very excited to have here with us from the Shite 90s Shows Taught Me podcast. Here is the great Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Rob, I'm doing great because unlike Xavier, I'm not on the block for the third week in a row. Mm-hmm. So my life is fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a full Britney.
Yeah, anything worse but than Britney.
Worse
you know,
Britney.
I don't want to be Britney's record. That's mm-hmm. definitely not true.
I think she was, what, 3 out of 4. So, I mean, Xavier mm-hmm. is now, this has surpassed Britney.
I mean, it's always good to get like a BB milestone, but be on the block more than Britney is just over the line.
Yes. Sarah, how are you doing tonight?
No, everything is so good. I'm really excited to talk Big Brother with you guys. I've been following the season, of course, I always do. And it's been a great season. So I'm excited to finally like get my thoughts out into the world.
Good. Well, very excited to have you here to talk about everything that's going on. And also, it's a treat whenever we get to talk to this man. It's Josh Williams. Josh, how are you?
I am doing wonderful, you guys. As you know, today history was made as Tiffany has won HOH back-to-back. And I love that so much. And it's a party time with that. Yes, I have it ready
yes.
to go.
Yes,
it's party time.
It is
and
party
what's even
time.
Better, Xavier is on the block for 3 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. Sarah Beth went home. Boom, 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 boom. So I'm really having a good time here.
Yeah. All right. Well, Josh, happy to have you here with us as well tonight. We are going to talk through everything, take your questions as well. You can always send them in, robinswebs.com/BBQuestions. And while tomorrow is a holiday here in the U.S., it is going to be Labor Day. We are still working hard for you. We're bringing you The Slop coming up on Monday. Frail Mary will join me on this week's edition of The Slop live at 6 p.m. Eastern time for the patrons of Rob's Podcast. If you see any slop happening, go ahead and send us your slop submissions at robinswebsite.com/getsloppy. Okay. All right. Speaking of sloppy, I guess let's talk about this HOH battle, which I was surprised that they were able to make so much out of this for the episode. I thought it was going to be sort of like a little bit of a quicker challenge because it didn't go on for too long. Taryn, what did you think about the way that they put together tonight's HOH challenge?
I mean, I think it was appropriate that they spent as much time on it as they did, since it was one of the bigger moments here of the week. The outcome of this competition was it was talked about a lot prior to the competition, as they showed. Now, I don't think they showed it as accurately as they could have, but this was the primary source of tension through, you know, the through the following days after it happened. So you know,
yeah, can you give us some of the highlights of what was different from the episode versus the real version of events?
Yeah, I mean, they really, you know, they played up the best parts of Xavier's arguments and kind of played down the or played up the worst parts of mm-hmm. of Tiffany's, in the sense that, you know, when Xavier says, we all agreed it was supposed to be, you know, Claire that left this week. That wasn't really the case. It was split down the middle. The women wanted Claire to stay. The men wanted Claire to go. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, Xavier himself had even said at one point, like, as long as Kylan doesn't win, I'm okay. Cause he didn't trust Kylan with the HOH. Tiffany had said that before as well. Kylan was also supposed to throw it to Azza. One of the reasons why Tiffany didn't throw it to Azza herself is that she felt like she did not want Kylan to have it. That does not negate the fact that Tiffany definitely did go a bit rogue here, and she won when she was not supposed to. And we can talk all about that because that is a mistake. But the way that it was portrayed was very, very one sort of sided rather than the full spectrum here.
Sarah, what'd you make of the BB circus that the contestants were thrown into?
This is the circus from HE Double Hockey Sticks. This is a circus that I would not want to go to. Obviously, we're all for no elephants and animals at circuses. Sure. That's number one.
Sure.
Number two, I don't trust those creepy mannequins that they put out with the
creepy
water guns.
Yeah.
With the weird, creepy children laugh.
What? Mm-hmm. What were those? They had masks. They looked like they were like going to Mardi Gras. Like, I don't trust them. I don't like carnivals. I don't like circuses. I don't like any of this. And I would do anything to not go to this carnival.
Yeah. Josh, what were they spraying on the house guests? What was going on?
I was about to ask y'all that. Like that, it was just the energy. It was a goop that was coming out. I was so confused by that. That would make me throw up anyways. I could not go to that circus there. Like, you're already trying to scare me. Now you're throwing up on me as well. I was very confused by that. And it looked slimy. It looked disgusting. And it was giving them a headache. It was giving me a headache. This did not look like a fun circus at all. Mm-hmm. I wasn't laughing.
No.
No, not at all. What happened to the beach club?
You're right. What happened to the beach? Where's the beach? I the beach is fine. Who's going to carnivals? I don't go to a lot of carnivals. I'll admit that up front. But I feel like in my memory from when I did go to a carnival, first of all, there was no goop coming out of an elephant's butt. There was no goop coming out of random mannequins holding goop cannons. In fact, I don't recall any goop at all. So where's the goop coming from, Rob? Why is there goop?
Yeah, I mean, believe me, that I hate slime, goop. You name it. That's not for me. Yeah. Mm-mm. Didn't like it at all.
No. Yeah. And I just want to know what they're feeding the elephant to make it blow bubbles out of its behind.
Yeah. Not right.
The holes used in this was not also placed correctly. Right. Mm-hmm. Very inappropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah. To top it all off, the ride itself at this carnival is more nauseating than the Gravitron. And I feel like that's what really did all these people in.
Yeah. This was a very difficult challenge. Mm-hmm. Very difficult.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they showed that off because I was thinking I could do this challenge. But after looking at that and just looking at Oz's face the entire time and all the throw-ups that they had to go through, makes sense. Especially with goop coming in their face.
Taryn, I'd love to talk a little bit about Azza and how she felt, because I was under the impression that Azza did not want Kylan to be the HOH here. But, you know, as far as her talking with Xavier, it really made it seem like in the episode that she was pretty annoyed with Tiffany. Even in the diary room, she's talking a lot about being annoyed with Tiffany.
Yeah, she was more upset with Kylan. In fact, right away, she was just kind of like, you know, I'm glad that Tiffany stuck it out because I did not want Kylan to win. After Xavier complained to her for a while, she was like, okay, yeah, Tiffany did kind of pull a Kylan by doing this. I guess that wasn't a great thing for her to do. But for the most part, this has been a lot of, Xavier being upset and Azza kind of nodding along like, yeah, I can see why that is upsetting. But she didn't really take a lot of offense to it herself.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I felt like that Xavier was trying to gaslight us. And sorry, he kept talking about how, like, I'm just mad that Tiffany took this away from Azza and Big D.
Yeah. He's really the martyr here for the people that just can't win a comp. Like, poor Azza and Big D can't see pictures of their parents, how are they possibly going to remember what their parents look like if they don't see pictures of their parents? But I just feel like Xavier was just all bothered this episode. So bothered about everything. And I understand it's frustrating. I feel as though I'm going to go into a little bit of like astrology, like moment, not for long. I feel as though Xavier has to have Virgo in his chart somewhere because he is so obsessed with the plan. And for people like, I have a little bit of Virgo in my chart. If you go against the plan, you just like malfunction. And I feel as though X just like can't handle when a plan doesn't come together.
Yep. Well, and it's Virgo season.
Well, I think part of the problem is the plan was, according to him, was that Alyssa was supposed to stay, right? That was a key part of the plan. And he even mentions it like Azza or Big D or Kylan was supposed to win so that Alyssa could stay and Claire would go. Because here's the catch here, in my opinion. If the plan had been Azza, Big D, or Kylan win and Alyssa is the target, then I think we would have heard a very different argument from Xavier. Well, it's not really fair to ask me to throw this HOH when Alyssa is the target here. I don't think I should have to throw this HOH. I've sacrificed already so much for this group. Why are you guys acting in so much self-interest to take out Alyssa here? That doesn't even make any sense, really, if you think about it. So I think we would have gotten that Xavier had the plan, according to him, been different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Xavier is a lawyer, as we already know, but he knows how to sell a story that makes a lot of sense to what makes sense to him. And he was telling the diary room that it was Azza and Derek's turn to win. He was telling Tiffany that, hey, like, you're not making the plan. He was telling everybody a different story that made sense to what he wanted to happen. And since the week wasn't going his direction, he was malfunctioning, as Sarah said. Mm-hmm. Malfunctioning, he was upset, he was confused, and he just kept repeating everything.
So. Yeah.
So, Taryn, can I ask you a technical question about this competition? That is there still the rule that if your butt touches the bottom of the platform, you're out? Because it seems like that's what happened to Kylan and he was out. But I feel like that Azza was swinging around on there basically in that position for a while.
Yeah, I mean, you're not allowed to sit on the platform. You can't just sit there and just chill, you know. I'm just on a swing. Mm-hmm. Now, if you fall and get right back up, I don't know what the ruling would be on that exactly. I think that, there's also like the sort of gray area of if you're squatting and you're like, your butt is very close to the platform, but maybe not quite touching it, but maybe you can't really tell because you're in a squat position. It's really just, I mean, first of all, I think it's hard to get back to a standing position if you do fall on your butt. Yeah. But I think if you're just like full on sitting on it at any point, you're probably just going to be disqualified. But if you're squatting on it, if your feet come off of it, and then you get your feet back on it without your butt touching it, then I think you're fine. It's really just like, I think it's mostly common sense here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, it got down to Tiffany and Kylan in the last two. And I did, I know people are upset with her, but I thought that Tiffany came across like such a badass going up against Kylan, where basically like Kylan was like, hey, Tiffany, what's going on? She's like, no, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. And then Kylan had the audacity to play it as if he didn't hear that. He's just like, come on, like, you're supposed to get off. You're supposed to get off. And mm-hmm. she said, I'm not going to lose this. Like, I'm not giving you your third win. And it made a lot of sense. And let's look at it. I was surprised that Kylan was fighting so much. Like, Kylan, let her do the dirty work. She wants to take out her closest ally and give her that opportunity. You are going to get yourself three wins and become a target anyways. I mean, it makes sense. Nobody likes him. But if he had at least thought about it a little bit more and said, okay, if I get this win, I'm going to be looking like a threat mm-hmm. to people. So I don't know what he was thinking. Fighting her.
Yeah. Tiffany, she didn't want to give it up to Kylan, and eventually she becomes the winner. I love that moment where Kylan wanted to basically have an aside with Tiffany, and it was not granted by the group.
Yeah, I know. And I was watching the feeds at the moment. And when he asked if they can have a moment, the feeds cut out. So I didn't know, Taryn, maybe you know, did the producers tell them, like, you can't have them go inside? Like, why do you think the feeds cut at that moment?
I mean, the feeds mm-hmm. cut, you know, here and there. They might have asked production about mm-hmm. something. Maybe Kylan asked production about something if they need some clarification at all. But I'm sure they would have loved to, you know, I don't think they would have said, no, you're not allowed. I think they would have loved mm-hmm. to have like a, oh, everybody has to go inside. Why is Kyle, why does Kylan need his time alone? Like, you know, I think a production usually, I think, will allow things if it's going to make good TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It would have been interesting to see that standoff between them and have it be like, what are you doing? No, what are you doing? I wish that we did get to see that a little bit, but it's a very interesting moment because these people are in the cookout and they're supposed to be in the alliance for the greater good. However, they don't want to lose control. And I think for Tiffany, at that point, when she's so close and so solid on that little disc, I think that it just became like tunnel vision for her. And she's like, I can win this and I want to win this.
Mm, yep. And I think it's when the closer they're getting to the end with just the six of them, the more their personal game is starting to weigh. They're having this complex of where like they want to be the final six, but then they also know that they want to be the winner. You're seeing it with Xavier's game wanting to keep Alyssa. You're seeing it with Kylan wanting to get this third HOH. You're seeing it with Tiffany wanting this back-to-back HOH to keep control and keep Claire there. And they're all having this complex to where they know that they're doing this for the greater good, but in the back of their head, they want to be the sole winner. And I would have loved to see a standoff and just see what Kylan and Tiffany would have thought of. Like, what could they have said? Maybe Tiffany could have told him, hey, I'm doing this for us. Like, come on. Like, look at this. It's for me and you, baby. And then maybe Kylan could have been like, no, I'm doing this for us. It's me and you, baby. You know, I don't know. Would have been fun to see that actually happen.
I mean, and there's no intention to betray the cookout with this call, right? I mean, ultimately, you know, it's much to do about nothing. It's a matter of which of Alyssa or Claire will go home. One of them is definitely going home. It's just a matter of which one goes home. There's not really mm-hmm. that much importance, which is why Tiffany feels comfortable putting her foot down here, knowing the risks that, you know, ultimately, if Alyssa ends up safe this week, she's going to have to be the one to send Claire out. And it's not as though she is not willing to step up to that plate.
But what I did really like in this episode from Tiffany is like all the diary rooms talking about, you know, how much she really wants to win this thing. And, you know, she's all for the cookout, but, you know, it was great to hear her talk about how much, you know, she really wants to bring home this money. And I feel mm-hmm. like that, you know, especially on the TV show, we haven't heard too many of the players really talk about like how badly they want to win individually.
Yeah. And you know, Tiffany talks about this on the feeds the other night. She says that that this is the first week where she's really felt like she's played the game for herself, even just a little bit. She's like, you know what? I like within the confines of being loyal to the cookout, I'm going to make a move that actually works for me. I'm going to win this HOH, even though some people don't want me to. I'm going to keep Claire safe, even though some people don't want me to. And that's going to be my move. And it's for me to win this game. And of course that, does not go very well with, at the very least, Xavier.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. So, we see Xavier talking with Alyssa, and Alyssa seems like a super checked out, but Xavier is feeling some type of way because Xavier is
freaking livid.
Yeah. He's freaking livid, Sarah.
Freaking livid. I get it. You know, when things are not under X's control, it's just frustrating, I guess, to him. And he really doesn't want his person, Alyssa, to go up in the block. And more so, he doesn't want himself to go up on the block. I've spent 2 weeks on the block. I don't want it to be a third. This is ridiculous. Yeah, it is ridiculous, Xavier. It's okay. You know, it's the cookout. What's good for you is what's good for us. Is what's good for us is good for you. That's how it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. a lot of people are surprised by, maybe people are not surprised by Xavier's behavior, but I remember one week of like very, very early back then when Frenchie was HOH and he wanted to put up Derek, something happened. He just wanted to go off off plan. And I remember Xavier just looking like, no, this is not a part of the plan. He was freaking out. And this is not surprising because Xavier likes to see things going one way, and he saw his position and him being on the block three times in a row. You got Kylie with two HOHs, Tiffany with two HOHs right now. His chances of winning is going down.
Yeah.
And that's really what he was losing. He was losing his way of winning the game, and that's why he was so livid.
Yeah.
Not only was he losing this person.
How about the whole, well, if everyone else is winning, why can't I win? Why am I keep throwing competitions?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, you know, like, I just want to hear from Xavier that, cause like I do not hold it against him if he wants to play for himself. I do not hold it against him at all. In fact, I encourage it. I want it. I would love to see Xavier, turn his back on the cookout. That would be big drama. And he takes Alyssa to the end and oh boy, like Xavier makes a run for it, whatever. That would be fun. That would be whatever. But I need him in the great words of Brett from Big Brother 20 to own it. I need him to own it. I need him to be in the diary room telling me, I don't care if Tiffany goes, this makes my job easier that Tiffany went for this HOH because now I can use this to turn the rest of the cookout against her. And I can put her in a situation where she ends up getting screwed and I win from all of this because I care about my game. And sure, she cares about her game, but I'm going to be better at it. Instead, he gives us this nonsense about how much he's sacrificed in this game. He has thrown so many competitions. And as if throwing competitions is the only thing anybody can contribute. And how dare somebody not throw a competition? And the only reason I'm going to act a little bit in my self-interest is because, they did it first. They did it first, guys. They did it first. Now I have to do it. Like, ah, oh, come on. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see him play in his own self-interest. I don't want him to do it because he's genuinely just acting like Tiffany has sacrificed a lot. A lot of the people in this game, in this cookout, mm-hmm. have sacrificed a lot in this game. And Xavier propping himself up to make it seem like he has sacrificed the most, I do not think is fair on a level that is outside of the game. It's not something that he's using in the game to advance himself. It's something that he genuinely believes. And that's frustrating.
Sarah, do you feel like that the way that Xavier is trying to fight this argument maybe is a little bit of a reveal about how he might be in the courtroom as a lawyer? That do you think that there's a lot of like, objection, Your Honor? She said she was going to do it. That's not fair.
Oh my gosh. Wait, Xavier in like a Law and Order special. I could only imagine. I don't think that he should be a lawyer. I think that he should be an actor on a lawyer show because I gotta be honest with you, he's definitely the most attractive house guest we've ever had. So, but yeah, like I think that that might be a hot take, but that is my take. I don't think he is a hot take. He is the hottest. Nonetheless, I think that he is probably pretty aggressive in the courtroom. I think that he won't mind being like, objection. I mean, the only thing that I know about lawyers is honestly Legally Blonde. So I can't throw any more lawyerly terms than objection. But I think that you're totally on track.
What do you think, Josh?
I think Xavier is such a good, he knows how to tell a story and he sold himself with a story. He is a team player. He is a hero. This is who I am. I'm the savior of the Cookout Alliance. And that's what he's going to tell us when he gets to the final two. I'm telling you guys that straight up. So what he is doing is trying to tell America that right now, convince himself that like, hey, this is what's happening. I am a team player. Tiffany is not a team player. She's the villain of the story. Dislike Tiffany, you guys. Mm-hmm. And I think what's happening is his actions and his story are not matching up, and we can see right through it. But the thing is, I don't think he can see it, and he's still trying to sell us.
Yeah, Taryn, I feel like that when we were talking about Xavier a couple of weeks ago, like the best version of Xavier was that when we're talking about him as sort of like the nucleus of the cookout sitcom, where he's the one where all the people are being like sort of like big personalities and out there. Xavier was like the calming force of trying to get everybody back on the same page. But it seems like that he lost that narrative.
I don't think it was ever really his narrative so much. He played like the like wink at the camera guy, but he was never really the person driving the cookout. He's just the person that benefited the most from the cookout. Mm-hmm. because as the person who is perhaps the greatest competition threat and probably the most likable person in the cookout, as Kylan would say, sure, unearned likability. He is the one that benefits the most from getting to six with those people. He can beat most of them in competitions, probably. He can beat most of them in the final two, probably. And so it's not in their interest to bring him to the end. And they're doing it anyway because the cookout is what matters. And so because he benefits the most, you kind of put him in the spot of like, okay, well, he must be at the center of it. Even though that was never really the case. And it still really isn't, but he is the person who is probably the most level, or at least was the most level throughout the game. But that was probably because he was mostly just getting his way. Because mm-hmm. the second he doesn't get his way, he's not level anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It looks like Xavier is very much a long-term player, and he is on something. He's good at structure, very good at structure. When the six gets to this point, I'm going to be at this point. And when that structure gets taken away from him, he's not really good at flexibility and thinking on the spot. And that's why we're seeing him frantic. Unfortunately, we're in a group of housemates right now who can't necessarily see Xavier Fluxure right now and see that he's frantic and messing this entire alliance up right now. But they can't really do much about that. So he's lucky in that spot that he's just going to get his way.
So somebody that was happy that Tiffany got HOH, it was Claire, a.k.a. Tiffany's biggest stan. Claire was very pumped up tonight, Taryn.
Yeah, I mean, we've got quotes. It's coming out of every single soundbite we're going to give you here.
I don't need a man in this house because I have Tiff. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
I'm so stoked because I'm definitely going to Final 7. I don't think Tiff is blindsiding me this week. This is my best case scenario. This duo is not going anywhere.
Oof.
Yeah.
They were like, give it all to us, Claire, because there is a scenario where you could be in trouble. And these are going to be so much fun to have in the episode if that happens. So they're really setting her up here.
But Taryn, what are the odds for that to happen? What would be the odds of that situation to happen right now? I'm with Claire. I'm excited. This is a party time here. She is going to Final 7. Her girl Tiff is not going to backstab her. What? Like, this is great.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying to myself.
Well, let's put a pin in that. I mean, that in fairness to Claire, you definitely could see why she's excited about this. It feels like, you know, if you're Claire, it's like, hey, me and Tiff, we're trading off HOHs back and forth. It's us against the world.
We're on the top of the world. Like, nothing can bring us down.
Hmm.
Yeah. And she doesn't need a man because she has Tiff.
Yeah. Where'd that part come from?
It's like the producer's like, so Claire, is there anybody that caught your eye this season? Anyone that you're interested in? She's like, I don't need a man. I have Tiff.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you like anybody? Any showmances? Nope. Tiff. I got Tiff right next to me. That's my girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm with you there, Rob. Like, this is not the agency line where it's like, come on, Claire. Like, this is very fair for her to be saying all of these things.
She's pumped. Mm-hmm. She's pumped up. Okay. Meanwhile, Kylan comes to see Tiffany and Sarah, Kylan can be such a phony baloney sometimes because like he comes up and when he's like got like the permagrin on, like it's so transparent, like, what happened back there? Because that was like
crazy.
That was
a crazy time back there. Like, what were you doing? Because I know what I was doing, but what were you doing?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wasn't that wild? Yeah. He's like, Tiffany, what the heck just happened? You were supposed to drop. And Tiffany is like, you were supposed to drop. And it's like the epitome of like the little Spider-Mans pointing at each other. Mm-hmm. They're like, you were supposed to drop. But, you know, Tiffany's just like, I wanted to win.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Now, all right. Tiffany's going to talk to the camera now, one-on-one. And Josh, she's going to tell us about how she really feels.
Yep.
She's pumped
and I'm
up.
Here with her.
Yeah. They're all mad and sad. Guess what? I want Claire to stay. And as long as Alyssa doesn't win the veto, she's not going to let that happen.
Yep. And Sarah Beth went
Sarah
home.
Sarah Beth is gone. Yeah.
Yes, Sarah Beth went home.
Really spiked the football on Sarah Beth going home.
I think that's really what made her want to win HOH the last week and this week. You know, not only did she lose Sarah Beth, but she gets to win HOH again to take out the other girl too. I think she's just on the top of the moon. And I would be with her. Like, she wanted to be the first person to win back-to-back HOHs. She wanted to keep Claire. This all made a lot of sense for her. She didn't really care who was mad about it because they shouldn't be mad, really. They mm-hmm. like they won. A cookout member won. So just because she's getting her way, she shouldn't be upset. And honestly, I'm here with her. I'm looking at all of them. One thing I like about Tiffany, by the way, is that she could be a villain, and she knows she could be a villain. She doesn't care what those cookout members are thinking. As long as she is in the best interest and she's getting her way, she knows that we're winning.
Taryn, other than final four to final three, has anybody ever won back-to-back HOHs and any sort of like statistical oddities in the history of the show?
Not in Big Brother US.
Canada?
Big Brother Canada 8, because of how wonky that season was with, you know, canceled HOHs and weeks and, you know, mm-hmm. people not getting actually evicted. Sheldon won back-to-back HOHs in that season. So.
Okay.
But not in the US.
Okay. So, congratulations to, Tiffany on the history. Okay. Get to see a little bit of, Derek F and Azza. Derek F needs a pep talk, Josh, that Azza was there to sort of, pick him up off the mat.
I was so Azza. Azza is like a saint in that house for telling him finally, stop having a tantrum. Stop having a tantrum, please. Hey, listen to me. Get over here. Stop it. Stop with this. One thing about Derek F is he does not know how to stop. He will continue to tell the same story. I'm going up. Oh my God, this is happening. This is happening. And I'm glad Oz is here to like really hone him in, circle him back to where like where this all started and kind of remind him that he did start this alliance just to give him some type of fire so he could actually start making some moves. But in that meantime, I hope that that worked. I don't think it did necessarily, but at least we had that moment.
Yeah.
Stop having a tantrum.
Azza, you know, she was there for Brittany and Sarah. Now she's there for Derek F.
Yeah, there's one thing that Azza is really great at, and that is being, you know, a person that people can use to cry on their shoulder. I mean, I really think Azza is like a big sweetheart. When everyone's having a hard time, it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to go cry to Azza now. And that's what we are always seeing is that people go to Azza to, so that she can console them. This moment, I felt for, Big D because it is really hard for him to win a competition. I know that, he can't control his size. He can't control like how athletic he is. He could work on like studying, but actually he's dyslexic from what I've mm-hmm. heard. I think that's true. So studying is hard for him too. So it's definitely frustrating for Big D not to be able to like pull a win out. And I feel for him. And I think that if I was in the house, I think that I would play the Azza role and console Big D because you don't want to see Big D like cry big tears down his face. Like I would feel so bad for him.
Yeah, I'm with you, actually. Like, I feel like, you know, there really are very few competitions that that Big D, like, has an equal chance at, basically, like, from get-go. And this is something that we've talked about a lot in terms of, like, physical competitions, you know, favoring those that are very physically, you know, fit or active or athletes. But even beyond that, you know, to be Big D and to walk into a competition and basically be like, there's probably at least a 50% chance that I am easily the first person out of this. Like, zero chance for me to win this one. It must be really frustrating. And to be, you know, on the episode, it's live, and you're just trying to hang in there until the episode ends so that you're not, like, you know, that person that's out first so quickly. I can definitely empathize with where he's coming from with that. And I do wish, I do think that they're a little better this season than they have been in the past, but I do still wish that they were, there were less physical, overtly physical competitions like that.
I would like to just come back with my opinion. I don't necessarily mean you guys. Thank you guys for enlightening me with that. I forgot that one part where, you know, Big D was talking about how he was mad losing the competition, and I do really sympathize with that. And I know how, like, negative that can really put on your energy and just really bring you down. And that's probably why his gameplay was a little down this entire week. However, I do still wish, I'm glad that Aza mentioned the fact that he did start the alliance just to really fire him back up game-wise, because you can still win this game without competitions. Look at Dr. Will. You know, she should have just said, like, Big D, you're the Dr. Will. You're the big Dr. Will. The big D Will. Okay.
I mean, when Big D complains about, like, I'm going up on the block again, when he's not going up on the block, that's when it's like, all right, Big D. Running this game and nobody's giving me the respect. Like, okay, Big D.
He has a flair for dramatics, but, you know, you gotta love that about him.
Yeah.
Big D, big dramatics. That's what the D stands for.
But Aza was like, yeah, you're making history. You're part of an alliance. And it's still that he was like, yeah, but I didn't get to win. Come on. Big D, you have a superpower. You could fall asleep anywhere at any time. Do you know how much I would kill for that?
Yeah, to have that power, man.
That is a power.
You know what I mean? I'm in my bed. Like, boy, I wish I could sleep right now.
To not have anxiety and be able to fall asleep instantly. Mm-hmm. Like, can't relate to that, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
That's the confidence of Big D, that he thinks he's running the game and he can just sleep wherever he wants because
amazing.
No predators are going to come and eat him, I guess. I don't know.
He might have been a cat in his past life.
Yeah. There you go. But see, I don't know. I guess, what's the gene that lets you sleep? Like where did that evolve from?
I don't know. That's for another podcast. We can talk. We'll get into that a little bit more. All right. But while Big D is snoozing, Aza and Xavier are talking about the cookout. Aza says, you just got to trust the process, Taryn.
Yeah, just trust the process. She says that, because she also feels like, again, because, Xavier's sitting over here just like, I've done so much for this group. I've sacrificed so much. Aza is in the diary room like, yeah, like I feel like I've given a lot to this alliance and it doesn't always go my way. In fact, I don't think it's ever gone my way, basically for Aza. She's never really had a lot of power to contribute to the alliance, but she has had to, sort of sit through this game where other people were in power and she couldn't really say much about it because they were in the alliance and she couldn't really mount any kind of, counter to it. Not that she necessarily would have, but it's been a struggle for her as well. Now, it's not something that she is going to loudly complain about all the time, but she's kind of, Aza over the last week especially has really been thinking about her role in the game and what it means for her to be there. She came into the game thinking, I'm a big fan of the show. I'm like, I'm a June fan. I'm going to come in here. I'm going to play this game. I'm going to cut people. It's going to be fun. And she's found out about herself that is just not even close to where she is in this game and who she is in this game. And so she's coming to accept that. She's along for the ride. She feels like, she told this to Tiffany that, she's starting to think that her role in this game was to just come and help, the cookout, essentially. Mm-hmm. She's not really destined to win this thing.
Yeah. Things never go her way, Josh. She never gets to win. She never gets to win when they try to throw her things. Somebody always ends up winning the HOH. That she doesn't get. Even when she wants to go on the block, they tell her no. She has a middle school crush on Xavier, and he's not going to go there with her.
Man. You know what?
Poor Aza.
I think what really happened. I really feel bad for Asa. I really do. I didn't even realize, like, she's already been through what Xavier's experiencing 4 weeks ago when Brittany was crying every time she got on the block. And I think she really just, like, came in and, you know, she didn't want the role of being a floater or the role of just being a supporting character for her Big Brother journey. It just was given to her. And now that it was, she kind of just, she can't fight it no more. She accepted it. And she's lost. And she's just over here just now really being the supporting character, really telling them, hey, you're fine. Trust the process. Hey, you're great. Wake up. And I think she's okay with that. She's already been a natural person when it comes to like really having a shoulder to cry on. And she's seen that that's her role in Big Brother as well. I feel bad for Asa.
I would say that there's still a lot of game left. And just because she hasn't been like played like a totally active role thus far doesn't mean that she can't turn it out. I want to see my Big Brother players with a little bit more fire. That's the only thing that I want from Asa. You can turn up the fire. You can ramp it up. Like the game is not over. There's 8 people left, Asa. Like, come on, let's go. Mm-hmm. It, like, I don't like the defeatist attitude where she's like, mm-hmm. you know, I love that she, you know, wants to build other people up, but I want her to build herself up.
Yeah. I think what's really happening, though, is that a lot of these players are depending on that win, that HOH win, that fire of a HOH, fire of having control and fire of having something go their way to really want to keep the ball rolling for themselves. And since it's final 8 right now, and a lot of them haven't had that ball roll for them yet, they're not wanting to do much either. They're keeping this fetus role and they feel like they won't be able to win even if they made it to the end. And I think that obviously that's not true. There's still a lot of game to happen and there's still a lot of things that they can definitely do, but they're starting to realize they can't see that. And I don't understand, if you guys have a ticket to be at final 6, why not shake things up? You have a 1 out of 6 chance of winning this game, meaning you still have an opportunity to win this game. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I've got Asa in the draft. So come on, Asa.
So then we definitely need Asa to ramp it up like
ramp
right
it up.
Now.
Come on.
Okay. Let's go.
All right. Let's get into this was a pretty juicy conversation with Tiffany and Xavier, Taryn. And Xavior's like, I thought we were going to get out of Claire. Well, that was the thing, right? That was the plan.
Yeah. And he's done so much to get them there. Tiffany is in reality explaining to him that, again, she didn't want Kylan to win. And that's part of why she won this. And obviously it doesn't make sense for her to go after Claire this week, when Alyssa is available. So, he's just going to have to suck it up.
Mm. Yeah. Well, Xavier is not happy, Sarah. And Xavier is feeling like, well, now that he has permission to ruin her game,
I'm going to ruin her game. Her game is
freaking
over.
Livid.
I mean, Xavier is the drama this episode. Mm-hmm. He is bubbling inside. It's like if he's ready to ruin your game, you best be scared. I'm scared. I'm gonna mm-hmm. ruin your game, Tiffany.
That's it.
Yes. He knows how to make a threat. He does. He said, I'm gonna ruin your game, girl. You're going down right now. And yeah. I wish he was just a little bit more like fun with it, you know. If you're gonna be mad and upset, now listen to Diary Room. Be like, she's gone, everybody. Da-da-da-da! All shots fired. And honestly, where I feel like Tiffany was wrong, or really where Tiffany messed up, is she should have known the repercussions of her winning HOA. She should have known that Xavier would be upset with this, so she knows how to play against that. And she should have went to people being like, you see Xavier? You saw what he did? He threatened me, y'all. He threatened me. Mm-hmm. And then even if they didn't threaten it, you know, just act like it. Just set people up. She should have set this HOH up a little bit more for herself to where she could have really prepared herself for this repercussion she's probably going to have.
Eventually. Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, like, this is, again, like, exactly what I'm talking about. Xavier's not like, oh, okay, then I'm going to do what's best for me. He's not even saying that in this moment. He's really showing his cards and he's saying, I'm going to ruin your game then. Like, this is pure spite, which is dramatic. Yeah. It's entertaining. Sure. It's definitely not just like, self-interested gameplay. Here I come. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just annoyed.
Middle school pettiness. That's what
yeah.
it is.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And look, very petty. I don't know if he's going to ruin Tiffany's game, but he's definitely going to try to ruin her HOH room reveal because like the Statler and Waldorf of the Tiffany HOH room reveal are here to rain on her parade as Big D. He does not care, Taryn, about at all. He saw this last week.
Oh, my God. I can't believe somebody in my alliance won an HOH and yeah. is going to keep me safe this week and guarantee me final seven and potentially even take out their own ally for my sake. Ah, so annoying. I can't believe this. They don't. She doesn't even have Beyonce anymore.
Very selfish. Very selfish
Beyonce. No Beyonce. Look, if you don't bring Beyonce 2 weeks in a row, I'm out of the HOH room, too. Like you got Lemonade last week. Bring on four. Bring on Beyonce. Bring on Sasha Fierce. I want that. I do not want any other music but Beyonce in my HOH room. So I would leave just like Big D.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, Big D's reacts with a little valid. Like it's Beyonce birthday, man. Like you're not gonna give her Beyonce this week. You could have planned this a little bit better. But I was just a little upset myself. Actually, I'm like, okay, you know, Lemonade's a great album, but. Mm-hmm. It's better.
Josh, but Big D told us, he's like, well, but I know how to play the game. Okay. I'm going to go up there. I'm going to do what I always do. I'm going to smile. Nobody's going to know I'm unhappy.
Not the sulking in the bed in the corner, no. Like with the arms crossed, yes. Like shit to Osh yes. is talking with oh Big D. Not even that.
Oh my gosh, yes, I'm so excited. Look at that. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't know what Big D acted was, but like, come on, he could do better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Big D like, is always, yeah, it's so ironic to me that we had a whole segment of about Big D and Azza earlier in the season where like he was like, girl, you got to put on a face. You can't be showing your emotions mm-hmm. like that. You got to be able to hide it. And he is the most easily read player in this game. By a large margin, he literally has a I'm BSing you voice mm-hmm. that he uses. Oh, what do you mean? Oh, no, what? No, I love, oh, well, I'm so happy about this HOH comp. This, oh, this is a great HOH. Look at your son and his photos. Oh, I'm just gonna dip out now because I don't care about, I mean, I'm not mad or anything. I'm just gonna dip out now. Oh my God, that was so annoying. I'm so annoyed that I had to go there.
They're mm-hmm. not even impressed by the cats on leashes. Like if you can get mm-hmm. your cat on a leash, that is way impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That goes back to the premiere where like is Tiffany walking a cat on a leash?
That's the thing. I can't even get my 8-pound Shih Tzu to walk on a leash. How can she get her cats on a leash? Yeah.
Well, to all those people that are like, well, boy, how does she get Claire to do all these things for her? The woman has cats on leashes, okay?
That is actually a really smart idea. Never thought about putting my cat on the leash. But, you know, actually, I'm not surprised by that, actually. I'm really not. Mm-hmm. Tiffany looks like somebody that knows how to master the impossible. Based mm-hmm. off of how she does with Big D, with Claire, with Xavier, and also dealing with all these fake people. I just want to mention Xavier, Azza, and no, not Xavier. Kylan, Azza, and Big D are the worst at smiling and lying. Like, I just want to go back to Kylan being like, yeah, what happened? What happened with that HOH? What happened? What's going on? They're all terrible.
Yeah.
Taryn, how often do you get your cat on the leash?
Kallus can never be leashed. He's unleashed.
He's mm-hmm. his own person, independent, yeah. No leash for him.
Perfect. So, Taryn, I was wondering, do you think that the final straw for Xavier was when Tiffany got a bucket hat in her HOH basket?
Oh, no, not a. I wanted a
freaking
bucket hat.
Livid.
Not the hat. How dare she get the hat?
I threw this HOH and this is what I get. No bucket hat. And she gets the bucket hat.
Not even two bucket hats so that we can share. How dare she?
She's mm-hmm. so bucket hat selfish. Mm-hmm.
See,
he should have been nicer. He probably would have got the bucket hat.
I wanted Azza or Big D to get the bucket hat. Yeah. That's what it's all about. I know what it's like to have a bucket hat. I wanted to see them have that feeling. She stole it from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you believe she stole your bucket hat? Now, like, come on. How selfish.
They should have been able to experience the high fashion of bucket hatdom.
Yes. Josh, so then we see Xavier and Derek F. They storm out. They say, like, we know how this is going to go. We know this story. They go downstairs. Tiffany, that she clocks this right away. She's like, oh, they're talking about me. Go to the spy screen.
I love this, though. I really, if they were to keep this up, this energy of like, okay, the guys versus the girls, obviously, we don't need to like them. We're keeping the alliance undercover. Instead, their feelings are very genuine. And I'm just not not really understanding why Tiffany, they like click that in their brain. Maybe they are talking about you. Maybe this isn't a good thing necessarily. Maybe Xavier does not like you in this situation. Why are we really playing this week this way? At the moment, like I just don't know if Tiffany really was thinking too much in the future of how they were reacting right now, because obviously they're planning to evict you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is very representative of what was happening on the feeds, where basically Xavier needed to get out of that HOH room as soon as possible so that he could continue to complain to people about Tiffany all night long, going into the next day, all day long. And Tiffany remaining mostly like sort of like recognizing that people are going to be upset with her. But not really doing enough about it, in my opinion, as well. I mean, she won this HOH knowing that it was risky, knowing that it would piss people off. And she really had this energy, which was like, let them be pissed off, which is...
It's not great for good Big Brother gameplay, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of like, you know, politics and making sure everyone's happy in the Big Brother house. You can't have the like, I don't care if they're mad at me attitude. That's not going to work in the Big Brother house. It's just going to make people more mad, especially when people have nothing else to occupy their mind with about what annoys them. You grab onto like random stuff that maybe wouldn't irk you normally, but having like an attitude where like, I don't care if you're mad about this is certainly going to like make the people of the house annoyed.
Well, do you think that it could be that this is Tiffany's second term? And, you know, you hear this in politics all the time about like the curse of the second term, like almost no political figure has like a good second term. Do you think that this is like how it goes, where that Tiffany has basically like been in power for 2 weeks now and now she's really like feeling it?
Yes, exactly. I think Tiffany is now Tiffany was always a good player, not actually being in control. And she was always good being the puppet master. And she got her highness off of that, where it was like a false highness. Not everything was really going her way. It wasn't really her HOH, but she got what she wanted. Now that she's actually the one that's in the front seat, people are not only viewing her as the enemy right now, but she's even seeing herself as the front seat, the person at the top. And she doesn't care. And that's not a good thing that's happening with her in Big Brother. That's why she needs a player like Claire to really wake her up and be like, stop that. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do that. But she's not even looking at Claire that way. Hannah's loving this right now. She is like Claire. She's Tiffany's number one ally, but also Tiffany's competition. And she knows that. And she's letting Tiffany go with how she's doing this. Keep making everybody upset. This is working out for my gameplay. I like Hannah.
Let's talk about Azza and Alyssa and the yellow dress. Okay.
The yellow dress, you say?
Yes, the yellow dress. So Azza is talking to the camera, telling us how that she does not want Alyssa to wear her yellow dress. She's saving it for final three, knock on wood, for Azza getting to the final three. And Alyssa has come in to borrow it. Sarah, was this a relatable story of the person that wants to borrow a clothing article?
You never lend your clothes, especially when there's like, especially if you want to wear it. This yellow dress thing, like, I totally understand Azza. Like, don't lend your yellow dress. You have the power to say no. But again, Azza's a nice girl and she wants to, like, you know, be nice. Let Alyssa wear the yellow dress. But the yellow dress is very tight. It's even tight on Azza. And this is where it gets risky, you know, putting on, seeing Alyssa put on that yellow dress and it being a tight squeeze. And Alyssa has an amazing body, but it's a tiny dress. And then the worst thing happened. I see a tiny hole in the yellow dress. There's a hole now. So now, I mean, Azza is happy because, you know, she's going to try for the purple dress, but there's still a hole. There's no sewing kits in the Big Brother house, is there, Taryn?
You know what? They might actually get some sewing stuff if they asked for it.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like that's possible.
Well, then no harm, no foul. But no, I would not lend the yellow dress out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just here for the BB politics, you know? You know, you can't be too mean. You can't, like, you can't say anything to where she can't wear the dress. But I would have been like, well, you got to go home this week. No, you can't have not my yellow dress.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. Well, I think that would be like a good thing to do if you were like trying to tell if you were a pawn or a target. It's like, hey, okay, if I'm the pawn, can I wear this on eviction night? No. I need it. You can't. Don't wear it on eviction night. That's bad luck.
Oh yeah, because then the dress would go out of the house with her.
Yes, yes.
That'd be terrible.
Wow. But Taryn, I didn't know what the punchline of this story was going to be. That I thought we were heading towards where she was going to get the dress on, and then Xavier was going to come in. Like, wow, that dress is amazing.
That would have been good. That would have been good. No, I mean, this is actually pretty typical of like an Azza moment. There was one that I talked about on the live feed updates a couple of weeks ago where she was complaining about Derek X telling people about her Fruit Loop study strategy. And she was like, really? She's like, I can't believe he told them about my Fruit Loop. That was my one edge in this game. Now everyone knows about the Fruit Loops. And then while she was complaining about it to the cameras, Alyssa walks in and she's like, Azza, don't use the Fruit Loops to study. It's a bad idea. You'll get overly reliant on the Fruit Loops. And Azza's like, yeah, I mean, I didn't even use them anyway. And then Alyssa leaves and she's like, anyway, about my Fruit Loops. I can't believe he told them about my Fruit Loops. And it's going to be the same exact kind of moment here. She's complaining about Alyssa and the dress, and Alyssa walks in. Hey, about that dress. It's just so good. Azza is so funny when she's just like complaining about people or situations to the cameras, because there's such like a lighthearted innocence about it, even though it's like genuine frustration. I just think she's so funny.
She is so hilarious. I would love an Alyssa of Azza duo. Like, that sounds like a duo that I love to see. Where Azza's really planning Alyssa's eviction this entire season, but Azza somehow, Alyssa comes in all the time just at the wrong moments. You're like, hey, were you talking about me?
Yeah, just trolling Azza all the time. And Azza's like, no, why Alyssa? It's really funny. I mean, there was 0 point to the dress segment, 0 point at all, but I enjoyed it.
It's fun. All right. I think the other big thing just to talk about tonight was Alyssa is going to campaign to Tiffany. Taryn, now, do they have the capability in the HOH room to like, all right, let's go full screen on the memory wall?
No, they can't go full screen on the memory wall, but, I think, you know,
we got like just a superimposed like, memory wall on the screen.
Probably.
Yeah.
So the camera angle is like above the kitchen or like above the dining room.
Yeah. The wide shot. Yeah.
And then you can see the memory wall on it, and you can still like people do use it, upstairs to study the memory wall or to point things out on the memory wall. But yeah, that must've been some editing magic.
Yeah. Okay, so Alyssa's trying to make her case about how I should be sitting next to you in the final two. And she says about like, hey, sitting next to me, look at all these votes that you have. Sorry, even my son said, what? Dad, she's making a lot of sense.
I thought that this was incredible. I thought that she was making a lot of great points. I was really impressed with Alyssa in this moment. One small issue, and that is the cookout.
Sure.
It's a weird situation because most people, when they're HOH and they have a target, there's usually a self-interested reason for targeting that person for the most part. And they're usually targeting people that it's mostly in their interest to target. You don't usually have a situation where, like, Alyssa can make amazing points because there really are plenty of other great options for Tiffany to nominate, assuming the cookout doesn't exist. And so from that perspective, she's able to, you know, be like, look at all these great points for why you shouldn't get rid of me. And Alyssa is a smart player. I do think that she has a lot of, you know, ultimately unfulfilled potential in this game. But strategy is not one of those faults that she has. She's able to see all of the great reasons why it makes a lot of sense for Tiffany to keep her without the cookout being involved. And she's able to point them out to Tiffany. And she does a good job of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Alyssa's good at knowing how to sell points. Because she doesn't have a person that she could fight an argument against. Like, she is more or less trying to see like why it makes sense to work with me. But who do you nominate other than me? That's where it kind of gets a little blurry. And I feel like Alyssa would be such a good player. She has somebody who knows how to fill in the lines for herself. Or if she knew how to like really point out, like if she was to be active with a lot of the strategy points that she has, like she knows how to tell it to somebody, but if she knew how to play with it herself, maybe go with Xavier, tell him, okay, Xavier, we need this person, this person, this person, and the four of us make it to the end. Or tell Alyssa, tell Tiffany, hey, these three people have a final four with me. You got to get them out. You know, I don't know. I just feel like there's just one thing that Alyssa could have done that could really just put her game in a different direction. Too bad the cookout's here. That's really ruining that for her.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to get Tiffany's nominations. No surprise. Alyssa and Xavier are going to be the nominations at the end of the episode. Any interesting reactions to this?
No. I mean, it's not a surprise at all. The only thing is Xavier complaining for, I think, like the fourth time this episode. Oh, this is the third week on the block again. And another threat to ruin Tiff's game. And he's like, I could be friendly and play good. But, you know, now it's time to be mean. Mm-hmm. So that's like the one thing from Xavier. You know, Alyssa is like, yeah, like I thought I would make my pitch. But, you know,
whatever.
I'm just over. I'm over the fakeness.
Over
like the smiling and talking about, you know, nothing. Like I'm just ready to win veto and just focus on the game. So for my last potential week here.
Okay. All right. Anything else about the episode? I know the chat has asked us for live feed talk for a solid hour now.
Do it.
I think it's time.
Yeah.
That's some good editing. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Okay. Terrible. Terrible. Oh, sorry. No.
I think.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, what was the worst part?
Well, once we get to the live feed.
Okay. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Okay. All right. So without further ado, let's get into this week on the Big Brother live feeds. But first, got to thank our friends over at Noon Sport, where they make your water work harder. It's hydration you can feel. And when you sweat, you lose vital electrolytes and minerals that your body needs in order to keep moving and recover efficiently. And Noon Sport, it's optimized for hydration and mineral replenishment before, during, and after a workout. Just drop a fizzy tablet in your water bottle to support your hydration anytime, anywhere. Noon Sport tablets are packed in convenient, easy-to-grab tubes, so you can take your optimized electrolytes on the go. Noon Sport is made with only 1 gram of sugar and carefully sourced premium ingredients that are certified non-GMO, gluten-free, and vegan. And Noon Sport is available in 13 delicious flavors, including fan favorite cherry limeade, which has an extra boost of caffeine. To get your game-changing hydration, visit noon.life/Rob. That's noun.life/Rob. Enter promo code Rob for 25% off your first order. Let's do some live feeds.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Okay. All right. Nothing interesting going on. Right?
It's all the same.
Yeah. Same old, same old. Yeah. Any good this zings mess. From the Zingbot?
Honestly, the zings have been so unimportant. The zings were basically Alyssa, you're dumb. Ozzy, you're delusional. Claire, you're tall and have big feet. X, you're arrogant. Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aw.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But in all seriousness, all right. We had our veto competition and the one, the million to one shot.
Yeah.
I'm so stoked because I'm definitely going to Final Seven. I don't think Div is blindsiding me this week. This is my best case scenario. This duo is not going anywhere.
It's going somewhere because Alyssa won the veto and Claire is going to be nominated and evicted this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, the thing is, you know, this was a one in whatever shot and it happened, but there's a possibility of it. And it just stinks that it's going to be in like Tiffany's hands. You know, when she won this HOH, it was, you know, this is like the BB casino. There's big risk, big reward, but you know, I want to know if this gamble was too much of a gamble.
Which gamble?
You know, taking the HOH and having all of this fall onto her hands, having to take out her best ally, having the entire house mad at her. Like, is it just like, was it too risky? Like, should she just given it to Kylan? I don't know.
What do you think, Josh?
Well, I'm upset. But was it worth it? Well, I don't think it was worth it. I honestly think that Tiffany really, two things. She didn't really weigh out two things. The outside, like all the repercussions she would get for winning this HOH anyways, it didn't put her in a good spot. And then also on top of this, that one chance. She likes to play it risky, and this is what happened. She did not win the 777. She definitely got the XXX. And exactly, Xavier got what he wanted. And now she's really put in this position where she has to do this decision. And honestly, I would have said, you know what? If this is where the risk is going, I might as well keep going risky. Let me nominate somebody that's not my number one ally because this doesn't make any sense for my game. And I don't know. I feel bad.
Yeah.
I feel bad. There were two risks here. One is, can she get away with this within the cookout and get them on board with the fact that she won? We asked that question on Thursday when she won. And, you know, ultimately, wasn't the case. She was not able to prevent Xavier from freaking out and being super pissed. And she has fallen in the hierarchy of the cookout because of it. She's lost some connections. She's lost some standing in the end game. Very bad for her. Then there was the second gamble of, well, at least there's the backup option of you are ensuring, hopefully, that Claire ends up at the final seven. And that gives you some extra outs to move forward in the game, in the end game. But the gamble there, of course, is that Alyssa wins the veto and you have to send Claire home anyway. Now you have to do it yourself and you just nominated Alyssa. So if Alyssa wins at seven, she's probably looking at you. It's really, really bad for Tiffany if that happens. And she lost both bets. This was, you know, it could have been great. You know, theoretically, this is an optimal play. If she gets the cookout to be okay with it, and she gets to keep Claire to seven, then it's amazing. She doesn't even have to compete at seven. She's definitely competing at six. It's great, but she failed on both ends of it. And because of that, it's very bad. This was high risk, high reward, and low, low, lows here for Tiffany. And ultimately, it was just a failure.
Exactly. All right. So many different aspects of this to talk through. At this hour, does Claire know she's going on the block, Darren?
Claire was told by Tiffany a few hours ago. It was a very emotional conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So hard.
Yeah.
It was so hard to watch.
Josh, basically, how did she react?
She was in tears. She was bawling to the point where I was crying with her. Just look at Tiffany was crying. Claire was crying. And it was just way too much emotion because, you know, Claire is not only a very big big fan of this show, and this is just raw emotions as a game player, but she's losing it to her number one ally, and her number one ally is putting her on the block without much explanation of why she's being put on the block either. It just means it's just a lot of emotions there to take. And you can experience that because she's crying to a friend and the friend can't do much about it. And you can see even Tiffany's emotions there, really wanting to be honest with her, be honest with Claire as much as you can, but knowing what she's doing for a cause. And I feel bad for both ladies because this is extremely tough. And I just still think like there has to be a route that this can work out. I really wish that at 1 minute when Tiffany's actually there in the veto ceremony that she just wakes up and says, you know what? Fuck it. But oops, sorry. I don't know if she really is going to do that. So,
So Taryn, what did Tiffany tell Claire?
So this was a big point of contention because Azza and Tiffany and even, you know, Hannah, they all talked about like kind of just wanting to tell Claire the truth, just the cookout, everything. Why does it matter? She's going to go home. It's all of them versus Alyssa anyway. But Xavier was like, no. You know, this is not what happens. You are the one that screwed up by winning HOH. You said that you would hold this whole burden, so you must hold this whole burden. Yeah, I'm not going to, you know, have my game go down. I'm not going to have Alyssa find out about the cookout prior to 7 because but of so your what? Screw up.
So Tiffany. What?
Because he said he's worried that if Alyssa knows about the cookout, then she could come after him at 7. And that would not be fair when he did his part by throwing the HOH. And this, again, though, like this, I'm cool with. Like, this is him, you know, this is him being self-interested and other people letting him be self-interested. So if they're going to let him do this, you know, good on him. Because there's no reason for them to give him this and let Alyssa not target him at 7 when one of them is going to have to go anyway. But they are. They did concede to the fact that, okay, we will not tell Claire then the whole truth. The plan that they ultimately came up with is that Tiffany was going to say to Claire that it was a personal thing, that she was not going to put two black people next to each other. She was not going to be the reason why a black person went home. That she said that to herself at the start of the game. And that she is going to fulfill that. Claire asked her, are you in an alliance? And she said, no. So it is not a shared thing. It is just her own personal thing. She tells Claire that you probably are going home, but theoretically you could get the votes if you got Hannah, Azza, and maybe Kyland. Claire, I think for the most part, got the hint. Tiffany did also tell her, I want to be as honest with you as possible, but ultimately told the cameras afterward, you know, I want to be as honest with her as possible, but I still have to be loyal to the cookout in this as well. And I couldn't tell her everything because that was not the decision of the cookout. Claire, for her part, was, fully just like bawling, but also very understanding. She didn't question Tiffany's motives for a single second. And she said that she understands that they're both now screwed in this game. And Tiffany's like, I know. She will be she'll be rooting for her, in the jury house, essentially. And they will this will not hinder their friendship at all.
Wow. I mean, Claire is so amazing.
Yeah. But OK. But Claire specifically asked if there's an alliance, correct? Mm-hmm. And Tiffany said no. And mm-hmm. I feel like this is the biggest issue of telling this partial truth. It's like you're telling as much like truth as you possibly can, except for the biggest lie of like the biggest piece of this puzzle is you're lying about there's an alliance. At this point, it's like, I'd rather you not tell half truths. I'd rather you just, you know, suffer the consequences of X being sour and just tell the whole truth. You know what I mean? And I even think that in a way, if Claire knew the whole truth, she could possibly help and be open to like help Tiffany map out the rest of the game. Like, you know, these are the steps that you can take. Like, Claire has, started a Survivor game. She has a strategic mind. Yeah. She can help map this out with Tiffany. They can be a partner. They can spend the next 4 days working this out. And I just feel as though it's another mistake that Tiffany made in not letting her in on exactly what's going on.
Yeah, but here's... I'm sorry, Nathan. I think you can actually kind of just, like, as much as it hurts not to tell the whole truth, if you're saying no, you can see right through that no. I think Claire could get to figure that she is in an alliance at this point, and she's probably going to figure that out eventually anyways, or probably map it out to where Alyssa says, mm-hmm. why are you on the block? Yeah. You know, at some point she's going to figure this out herself, and maybe she will wake up and tell Tiffany, hey, this is how you map out the solution still. I think there's still an opportunity where they can work something out. But here's the thing, everybody. This is my little one crack of audience. I just feel like this is a moment. It's way too good. It's a story. Like, it's too story written. It's too story driven. Every amazing Big Brother player has that one moment where it's like all over for them. And this is it for Tiffany. I think this is the moment to where she really has to keep her back against the wall and really come through and make this an epic win for herself. I just do. That may be crazy, but I do think that has to happen at some point.
Yeah, a lot of people are upset that Tiffany did not tell Claire the full truth here. I, from my perspective, you know, when Tiffany tells Claire, I am prioritizing these people over you in the game, period. I don't think it should be too surprising that she's also prioritizing them when it comes to the amount of truth that she can say to Claire. And I am, you know, very confident that when Claire finds out there was, in fact, an alliance, she'll be like, ah, OK, I don't think mm-hmm. she will mind. I think she will again understand that, OK, when she was explaining it to me, she couldn't tell me the full truth because they didn't want her to. And she had to respect their wishes. I don't think it's that big. I don't think it's as big of a deal as a lot of people feel like it is, just because, again, you know, I think she is trying her best here. Obviously, it's not something that she wants to do in the first place. And I don't think that she's intentionally holding things back for any personal reasons. She just, you know, again, ultimately the act itself is worse than the withholding of information. Mm-hmm. She's choosing the cookout over Claire for the act itself. It shouldn't be all that surprising that she's, you know, choosing the cookout over Claire when it comes to explaining it as well.
Taryn, is there a chance that as we get closer to Thursday, Tiffany may divulge some more information to Claire going into eviction night where it's not going to be as much of a blindside?
I don't think that she will. I mean, the thing is, if Claire starts asking the right questions, I think she could easily figure it out. What Tiffany told Claire is that I can't be responsible for sending a black person home, essentially. Mm-hmm. I can't be responsible for sending X home, but I want to send him home. I want him to go home. Mm-hmm. So if I put you on the block and you campaign and you convince Azza, Hannah, and Kylan to vote out X, please be my guest. I would love that. And so, you know, I think that is sort of where she is right now. Now, obviously, that's not going to work. If for some reason it did, I think Tiffany would be happy to have Kylan, Azza, and Hannah make that decision that she would support. But she couldn't do it herself without them. And so I think that's where she's going to stand. When it comes to Hannah, Azza, and Kylan, Azza has really wanted to tell Claire the truth. And she has gotten into it with Xavier. Azza is kind of fed up with Xavier at this point because he is still complaining, and he is now he's the one that's being selfish with all this information withholding and who's able to tell the truth with where and when. And she's getting sick of it. And she was also called delusional by Zingbot, which probably helped. And so she has wanted to say something. She has said in the past that if Claire asks her about it specifically, that she will tell Claire the truth. But she is going, her line right now should be that I'll think about it kind of thing. Just trying to keep her at arm's length as much as possible. Hannah is going to pretend that she is on board with Claire, and Kylan is also going to try to stonewall her. I do believe that in the goodbye messages, they are going to be free and clear to reveal the rest of the truth, potentially. They're saying a lot that Claire is going to find out on Thursday anyway, so why not just tell her now? But Xavier is not cool with it because he doesn't want to get back to Alyssa. It's unlikely that she's going to be told this, but it would not surprise me if she has more conversations and she starts realizing that more people are thinking along the same lines. And maybe she has a conversation with Alyssa about, hey, I don't know how much you can trust Xavier, because there's a sentiment going around that that perhaps the people in this house that are not you and not me are not going to go after each other.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a hard pitch to make, especially when you don't know for sure.
Yeah. I feel like if there's anybody who can make that pitch, anybody who can really get out of this situation, it is Claire. And I feel like this is a fire that needed to be lit under her butt to really show why she's a really good Big Brother player, why she's a really good strategist, and why she's able to really put these reads together. She shouldn't be too surprised that there's alliance together, because she thought there was an alliance the entire time. She knew that there was she felt as if there had to be an alliance that Tiffany and Hannah are a part of, that they're just not telling us. And she figured that out with Derek X. So I think she can at least point herself in the right direction to where, hey, Alyssa, this is what's about to happen. We got to figure something out. Or tell Kylan, like, Kylan, how are you going to win this? Just think about it. And I think if she just at least figures, put those numbers together, she has the votes. All she needs is Hannah at that point. And the game is never, it's never too late necessarily to really be able to change this game. And if Claire wants to be the best Big Brother player that she knows she can be, she will do this. She will go and fight for this. And I know that she could probably convince some people.
So just long term, as far as Tiffany's game is concerned, Taryn, just how bad are things for Tiffany? I totally understand she's likely losing Claire this week. But outside of that, how many people are gunning for her when they get to the six at this point?
Xavier is.
Yeah.
Big D is. And she may not even get to the six, Rob, because Xavier, if he had his way, would probably see her gone at seven.
But would he do it himself, or that's only if Alyssa wins HOH?
He would likely not do it himself. His intention would be, I'm going to throw this HOH to Alyssa and have her.
Well, I'm not even worried about that. And I'm not worried about Big D winning an HOH either. So I'm only worried about Xavier.
Well, that's the thing, because Kylan doesn't want to see Tiffany gone, but he probably doesn't want to win the final seven HOH either, because that leaves him vulnerable at six. So he may also be throwing. And that leaves, if Xavier's throwing and Kylan is throwing, and Big D is either not going to win or would be bad for Tiffany to win anyway, then that only leaves Azza and Hannah to compete with Alyssa, which is not that great in terms of odds. And so if Alyssa wins, we could very well see Tiffany go home as early as this Thursday, following Claire right out the door. If that doesn't happen, she's in a slightly better position.
Oh my God.
To bring with them, especially now that they think that her jury votes are worse off than they were before. However, the threat of Xavier still looms large, and it really could go anywhere from there. Claire, when talking to Tiffany, did say, like, you know what, I was going to go to the end with you and lose. And I believe her when she says that. You know, she says, like, I've talked a big game. I came in here saying I'd cut the person, but I could never have done that to you, Tiffany. Given her actions in the house to this point, I believe
there's
that.
No evidence to support she would have tried to win.
Exactly. So I, you know, losing her is definitely a huge loss in terms of, like, this is definitely a big path for Tiffany to win this game. But it was never a path that she was going to be able to take anyway. She made that decision a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the immediate future, this week, winning the HOH, not being able to keep Claire, what has that done to her game? It's made her a lot more likely to go home at seven. If she survives at seven, then she's mostly just back in the position that she was in prior to this week, prior to Xavier feeling like he wanted to take her to the end. She just has to contend with Xavier. She's in a slightly worse position because of that.
Yes. I do think also that even though Tiffany Target is really, really bright right now, it also is really, really her endgame target is starting to dim a lot. And she's not necessarily becoming a target to people like Kylan, to people like Hannah and Ozzy who are thinking, well, Hannah and Kylan, not necessarily Ozzy, but people who are thinking that they cannot beat Tiffany if they make it to the end. So if this is what this is also actually doing is making Xavier look really, really bad because things are finally going his way. And on the HOH where Tiffany was, Tiffany won back to back, target's getting a lot lower. And Xavier's target's getting a lot higher and brighter. So I do see this not being too good for Xavier game once they actually do get to final six.
Can I ask where, where Kylan is in all of this?
He's loving it.
Oh,
he's loving it and he's up in Tiffany's bed.
Yeah. Can I ask, some questions about that? What's going on here?
Look, sometimes these things are not entirely clear. I can't say for sure that there are things going on.
Okay.
But it, for a lot of people, it definitely looked like there were some things that went
on. So I'm not even asking for like sort of like the Bridgerton, let's get into what's that called, Sarah?
I don't think we need a play-by-play.
The lady that tells everybody what's going on. Like, I don't need that.
Yeah. But this is not Gossip Girl.
Yeah. But like, so, but what's going on? Is this, are they like, is this a potential, showmance developing? Is this like I don't need to define the relationship. Are they just sort of like, is this a blossoming more than friendship?
Taryn, we need to DTR this now. Yeah.
Is this why Sarah Beth was her target?
That is the speculation. This is potential SB jealousy going on. What? So is this like...
SBJ.
Has this been like developing, Taryn? Is this new? Is it that we're on day 60, whatever? And, you know, what's happening? What's honestly, the tea?
I felt like we were all on the same page here. It was pretty clear from the start that, that Tiffany wanted Sarah Beth out of the picture because she wanted Kylan in the picture. We talked about that a lot when she came up with the whole master plan in the first place. It was in part because Kylan, she found out was a lot closer to Sarah Beth and Sarah Beth was a lot closer to Kylan than she had realized. And Claire made her aware of that. And Kylan, you know, accidentally slipping up with the jackpot information helped her become aware of that. And she talked, about, you know, he was her final two, her genuine final two for a long time until Sarah Beth came into the picture. She even said, a couple times that he is a person that she would date if not for people like Sarah Beth around. He has given her lots of massage. I think he understands the situation as well. When he was trying to get her to convince Hannah to use the veto on him last week, he spent all night massaging her feet. Anytime he's trying to get something from her, there's a massage going on. This has been there.
Hmm. This is the exact sort of tea that I'm looking for. It's been a little mild around here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Kylie knows how to use it. He knows how to use that dish. He knows he's good looking.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever keeps Kylan off of Yelp.com, I would rather him putting his endeavors in something a little bit more positive.
Yeah. Taryn, I feel like this is good for Tiffany, no?
Yeah. It's great for Tiffany. I mean, if she's able to lock Kylan in, that's amazing. I mean, mm-hmm. he already has said on the episode that she is his genuine final two. The question was, has she jeopardized that this week? This potentially answers that question.
Look, this probably woman not. Is amazing. When one door closes, she opens a window.
I just think it's so funny that they didn't want each other to win HOH, but they don't mind evening rendezvous. It's just very interesting.
Yeah.
What? This is the start of a love story. I love this.
I love it. I love love. So yes, I'm all for
much
it.
Much like Julie Chen Moonves. Yeah, we all do.
Stay humble.
Stay humble. Okay. All right. Should we take some questions? Any other big stories to report, Taryn?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Let's see. This is one that is from Tina A. Is Xavier trying for the next HOH competition? Throwing all these comps is not good for his BB resume, right? So he will not be going for HOH, correct?
He will not. He knows all he needs to do is go on an endgame comp run. Everybody's already like, what are you doing letting Xavier get this far? He has no reason to win the next HOH.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has the whole line in your finale speech, like, I was turning it off until I had to turn it on, and then I won the last three HOHs. Like, he's gearing himself for that argument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. How about this is from Mrs. Bua. Says, does Tiffany putting Claire up on the block undo some of the damage her winning HOH caused her this week? Josh, do you think that this all turns out okay in the wash?
It's like it's the saying, you add one road and you lose two other. Mm-hmm. That's what happened with Tiffany right now. She's so like in the negative right now that she has a little bit of catching up to do right now. So definitely did undo not just this HOH win. Last week's too, so mm-hmm. not good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a question from Mason Hoyt. If Alyssa wins HOH in the double and the cookout has to cut one of their own, will they come right back together the very next week, or will that first strike be too much? Okay, ooh. Hypothetically, in this doomsday scenario of Alyssa winning an HOH, do you think that the cookout reforms or now is like there's some sort of like Xavier-Alyssa pair moving forward?
Ooh.
I think the cookout reforms, but Xavier continues to throw the competitions until Alyssa leaves, which means Alyssa wins, takes out Tiffany or Kylan for him, and then he throws again to let somebody else take out Alyssa for him, and then he's in the final five, and he can definitely win that HOH. I don't think anybody else in the cookout, apart from perhaps Tiffany, would strike out on their own. Or honestly, maybe even Kylan would, but you know, they wouldn't be able to do it without the support of other people, which I don't think would happen. And so, especially because it would be one thing if it was a full week of Alyssa as HOH and them having to throw each other under the bus and figure out which one of them is going to go. It's a double eviction. It's going to be over real quick. And they're going to be right back to it.
Taryn, do you know who Tiffany would potentially go up on the block with in that Alyssa HOH scenario?
So that's the thing. If they want Tiffany gone, then they kind of need to put Tiffany up next to, you know, like Azza or a Hannah or something. If they put Tiffany up next to Kylan, we would likely see, actually, it doesn't matter. She can put Tiffany up next to Kylan if she wants. Big D and Xavier voting out Tiffany would be all they need. And then Alyssa would break the tie to evict Tiffany. So it probably would be Kylan.
Mm. It's not good. Kylan's our only hope, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. All right. Scenarios coming up this week on Thursday. All right. Anything else BB23 tonight?
That's all we got.
No, I think that it's going to be a really interesting night on Thursday.
Sure.
Doubles are always exciting. Two doubles 2 weeks in a row are even more exciting. I think it's going to be a great couple of weeks of Big Brother coming up.
Yeah.
Yep. The drama is on fire right now. I honestly think this is Tiffany's success story. This is the part of where, like, you know, they say the crystal, when a crystal is crystallizing. I'm forgetting it. You know what?
Sure. When the crystal is crystallizing. Yes.
Yes. When a rock is on. Yeah. Anyways, you know the saying. This is it right now for Tiffany, and she is about to really rise with the phoenix.
Yeah.
Right now.
She's a piece of coal under incredible pressure. She's about to become a diamond.
Oh, my diamonds.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, I see. I see what you're doing, Josh. Well, this was a very fun chat tonight. I really enjoyed this one, talking about everything here tonight. Let me tell you a little bit about what's coming up. Taryn, tomorrow morning It's going to be a Monday chat with Amon.
Yes, lots to talk about tomorrow.
I feel like it's been a minute since we've heard Amon on the Live Feed update.
There you go. Well, he's back for a big one.
Okay. It'll be a Monday morning with Taryn. Okay. Then for Labor Day. And then later on Monday night, it'll be a Merry Monday on the slop when Frail Mary joins me to talk about everything that's going on. I'm sure we will get into Kylan's complaints. Anything else that's going on in the world of the slop, robiswebsite.com/getsloppy. All right. Then, going to have more stuff coming up. No doubt about it. Yeah. All right. The Stockwatch is going to, more Amon on Tuesday night. Amon is going to be with Taryn and Melissa to talk about the Stockwatch, see what's going on. Boy, Josh, with these doubles coming up, boy, the market could be volatile.
Oh, I would not want to push your stocks at Tiffany.
It'll be an interesting week for the stock watch for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And then I've been doing some really fun Survivor 41 previews with Mike Bloom. We got recorded interviews with the Survivor 41 contestants. The second of our three-part series is up. Talking with six more members of the Survivor 41 cast. This cast is really fun so far. We got to hear their answers to our questions on that episode, and then we'll have a third episode for you coming on Tuesday. So be on the lookout for that all on robhasawebsite.com. Then on Tuesday night, they talked about the third best season of all time, Survivor Pearl Islands, with Mike Bloom and Haley Strong. But this Tuesday, we'll talk about the second best season of all time. It is going to be Survivor Cagayan. Puya Zambakili and Washington Post TikTok guy Dave Jorgensen will join me this upcoming Tuesday to talk about a season that is huge. We needed it. Survivor Cagayan. Hey, Taryn, message alert.
Whoa.
Look what's back.
Whoa.
The circle. The circle. And then these people, I guess, are going to be on it.
Probably. Looks like it.
Yeah. What do you think their names are?
Can we bring them up again?
Yeah.
It's David.
Yeah.
Mary. Mm-hmm. Xavier's on my mind. And Lisa.
Lisa.
Oh, I was thinking Rhonda.
I was thinking Lisa as well, Taryn.
Oh
my gosh. I was thinking Camera.
Yeah.
Natisha, David, and Lisa.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Sarah, plot twist. Two of them are catfishes. Who are they catfishing as?
Madonna and Lisa Left Eye Lopez.
Oh, wow. Well, okay.
Yeah. It's very believable people to be in the circle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Of course, this weekend, check out Why Sandra Won Survivor Pearl Islands. By the way, Taryn and I will have episode one recap of The Circle when it comes out on Wednesday. And then we'll have roundtables. Yeah. What's that?
We're going to have a premiere party.
We're having a premiere party?
Yeah. It's a podcast party.
That's exciting.
For the premiere.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Yeah. Oh, that's very, very, very fun.
Party time.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay. Then we have Why Sandra Won Pearl Islands. Check out David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis talking about Why Sandra Won Survivor Pearl Islands. That's always fun. And then over on the challenge that we have Ali Lasher, Brian Cohen talking about everything going on this season of the challenge on our challenge wrap up. Always always fun. And then over on the Married at First Sight wrap up, Asia and Amy are back to talk more about the latest goings on Married at First Sight. Of course, So much going on here in the month of September. The biggest month we've ever had in the Rob's Podcast patron podcast feed between everything we're doing with Big Brother. Be sure to check out Taryn and Jacob Jones covering for me on this past Friday's BBQ&A, which you could also hear and listen to, or hear and I guess hear and listen to is the same thing. Hear and watch the Sarah Beth exit interview and more. That's in our patron podcast feed. In addition to everything we're doing with Survivor, including the weekly patron feedback shows for the top 40 countdown and our brand new Survivor Q&A coming to the patron podcast feed this month. It's all at robswebsite.com/patron. Of course, you can check out everything from our sponsors at robswebsite.com/offers. And of course, never miss any of our live episodes when you subscribe on YouTube and hit that bell to be notified whenever we're going to go live. And follow us on social media at Rob Has a Podcast and at RHAP Grams on social media. Okay. All right, Sarah, what's coming up for you?
So, if you don't know, I have a podcast with Jessica Sterling, and it's called SHIT 90s Shows Taught Me, and we cover Boy Meets World, Dawson's Creek, and like other 90s content. We just had our 1 year anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Where we did a 90s snack bracket. So, are Lunchables the best 90s snack? What about like Capri Sun? We determined what the best 90s snack was.
Go-Gurt.
We had Go-Gurt. I had it today downstairs. We still have Go-Gurt. So check that out. You can always find me at Sarah Ferguson or at SHIT 90s pod on Twitter and Instagram. And also we have a website now. So www.SHIT90spod.com.
Yes. Okay. Sarah, very fun to have you here with us tonight.
It was such a pleasure.
Yes. Okay. And Josh, what's coming up for you?
Oh my gosh. Not really much, but but I will be going to Vegas next month. So that's very exciting. You know, I've been just traveling a lot and having a lot of fun, but I'm doing it safe with the vaccination and the mask.
Yes. Well, that's, we appreciate that because it's a good job. And remember, with a big risk comes big reward.
Yes. Hopefully I'm not playing a Tiffany game right now, but it's all about the Xaviers. I am trying to get that 777, not the XXX.
Yes. You think you'll play any chopping block roulette?
Ooh. No. None of that there. Okay. I don't think my luck or my chances are going to be up. Just that particular game.
Yeah. All right. Well, Josh, great to have you here. Thank you for bringing the party time.
Party time.
Yeah. And Taryn, what's coming up for you?
You can, of course, as always, find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Played some Among Us today. Had some fun with that. I was also live during the episode. Reacted also to the Claire and Tiffany conversation at the start of that. I'll be back, all the time on Twitch, watching the episodes with you guys, chatting about what's going on on Big Brother. You can also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn.
All right. Thank you all so much for joining us here tonight. Be a busy Monday with all this Big Brother. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.